Good morning to all of you. All of you look beautiful, handsome, and I should say are fully awake. I hope and pray that nobody will sleep. I will try my best that you will, all of you will keep awake. And who among you are learning a lot from our sermon series? I am learning a lot as well. And I mean, this series is really, I should say, gives me more boost about how Christian life is. This preaching is really about the heart of God. It digs deeper beyond my own understanding. And I hope all of you are also grasping, you know, how deep and sometimes complicated, you know, but hey, if you are living on the Spirit, there's going to be no wrestle. There's going to be no wrestle, but I'm telling you, when Jesus is stating all these statements about the Sermon on the Mount, he is speaking primarily to the believers, to his disciples. So he's saying that true righteousness is a matter of the heart. It's not that our outward action don't matter, but they do. And it's not all about really about rules and regulations. It's not all about don'ts and do, but true righteousness flows out of the heart that is right with God. And I'm going to be telling you, without the knowledge of the true righteousness of God, ignorance guarantees ungodliness. I'm going to tell it again. Ignorance guarantees ungodliness. So be careful when you profess that Jesus is Lord in your life. There are going to be a lot of people watching over you. They do have some expectations, you know. So now, this is really a very challenging topic. And when I had this topic, I said, wow, I really need spiritual muscle. You know, I've gone through with the books, I've gone through with the Bible, and gone through with all the studies, but the most important really is the heart of God. May the heart of God be in me, and may that heart, that spirit that in me, will be released upon to you. Say it, amen. How about that? Amen. So, it is a challenging command that Jesus is saying to his disciples. And my topic for today is, I don't know if you like this, because who among you would love to be in love? But there's a warning, because for this kind of love, love will hurt you. Love hurts. That's why I call this sermon, Love Hurts. It's really going to be very, very painful, I'm telling you, because I have experienced it. So may I all invite you. So may I all invite you to stand up in honor for the word of God. Thank you. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 43 and 48, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons to your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let's all pray. Father God in heaven, we honor you, we glorify you. We thank so much for sending forth your Son who can speak through us. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, that I, as I deliver your word, may it be your true message, not from mine. And I pray, Father God, for all those listeners, your people, Lord God, and for your other believers, Lord, may grasp and have a comprehension of the true meaning of this, Lord God. May it not be a burden to them, but let it be an inspiration because you said it, O God, that we love you and love others. Everything for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may all sit down. Thank you so much. I'm going to be asking you, when you face an enemy, what do you normally do? Do you normally run? Or you just try to avoid? If you're going that way and you saw your enemy, oops, that's my enemy. Or you're just going to face your enemy and they, come on, I'm ready. Let's stand up. Fight. So, I don't know, you know, how is going to be your reaction when you face your enemy? But Jesus is saying differently. He's saying, love your enemy. And he would like to demonstrate, surrender it to him, ask for his guidance, and he's saying, bless them. Lend your hand. That's what Jesus said. Now I'm going to be telling you, isn't that hard? Isn't that difficult? Isn't that so challenging? That's why this preaching is really so hard for Christians. Your relationship, your faith will be tested on this, I'm telling you. And even I myself. So who will be your enemy? An enemy can be somebody who hates you, who for some reason despises you. It could be an enemy who curses you, who speaks ill about you, negative things about you. Nothing is too good for you. Or anyone who spitefully uses you, who may abuse you. For you are living a godly life, the Bible said that you will also be persecuted. Those are also your enemies. And anyone who have offended you. I knew the fact that everyone in here have been offended. Isn't it? We're all victims of offense. But God said, do not take the offense. Let your defense be available. And surrender it to him. So who are your enemies? It is important as we think that what Jesus said, that we not restrict them to the enemy, to people like the ISIS or Osama bin Laden. Those people may be an enemy of some nations, but they are not my personal enemies. Your personal enemies tend to be much closer to you if you will really observe it. They are not too far for you. They could be just sitting beside you. So I'm warning you that love could really hurt. Jesus himself said, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That's why I heard so many men, now I just want to become single. Why is that? Are you afraid of having an enemy? No. And then in the very same passage, he described a very close relationship that goes sour. A father to a son, a mother to his daughter, and a mother to his daughter-in-law. I knew the fact that, you know, all of you have heard a lot of stories, sad stories. I know some people that they were lovers from the beginning and then they ended up enemies at the end. They started wow, you are my inspiration. And then at the end, oh, he is my depression. Oh, wow. And then, oh boy, that's the reason why that marriage is no longer in demand nowadays. People are no longer aspiring for marriage. They would like to play it safe. They're only into relationship as two partners. If that relationship doesn't work, okay, goodbye. They became really total enemies. That's why there are a lot of people nowadays, you know, are victims of dysfunctional family. And sad to say that some of you may be a part of it. But, you know, Jesus is here to provide us an extraordinary kind of attitude. How are we going to be relating to our enemies? So, the enemies can lead to close relationship, including parent-child, husband and wife, and uncles, aunts, then to various distant relatives. So the enemies we are told to love usually are not people in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in North Korea. Most of all, we'll never visit those three countries. But we do go home every day to face people who may or may not be glad to see us because of offense. Every week we go to work to people who may dislike us or students in the school who may hate us. We may even come to church and see people we would rather not see because they have offended us. So let us just think on these four categories: home, school, work, and church. Not the people in Iraq, not the people in Afghanistan, Syria, or North Korea. How about that? So, why do we need to love our enemies? Number one reason is, Jesus is saying, so that you may overcome evil. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Why should we love our enemies when loving them seems so impossible? The answer is really remarkably simple. Hate for hate only intensifies the existence of hate and evil. If we don't love them, we'll become just like them. Hate is, at any point, a cancer that gnaws away the very vital of your life. And those are precious. Imagine, those were relationships that from the very start that you're trying to crave for, that you're praying for, and then when you are already on that relationship, it's just like this. So much tension. So much clashing. Instead of clashing, you're not mending together and become solid in one flesh. So Jesus does not want you to fall back to sin. That's the very main reason. That's why you need to overcome evil. What happens when you fall back to sin? There will be a separation between you and God. And when that happens, his ear is dull to hear your prayers, and even his protection is far from you. So when you follow Jesus, when you follow him, you become the salt, the light. You do not fall into the trap of the evil, and you honor and worship God, isn't it? So tell to the neighbor beside you, or to your loved one, or whoever, tell them this: you have to love me so that you can overcome evil. Seriously, I'm telling this. Tell them, you have to love me. I'm telling it to my wife. No, she's telling it to me. You have to love me so that you can overcome evil. Now, this is going to be your response. I will love you to overcome evil. Come on. I will love you to overcome evil. How about that? For God's glory. So, and as for Martin Luther King Jr., he is the Black American Baptist minister and activist who became most visible spokesperson in America. He's saying this, that love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And he truly testified it. Second, Jesus is even saying you need to love your enemies. In Matthew 5:45, it says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. To be sons of our Father in heaven. Often we see children and we say, when there was a baby, as they grew up, we can even recognize, just like, for example, Katrina is with Karina. You could really see that Karina's mother is Katrina. You can really see the look alike. And even just like my younger son, Ivan, have a, you know, similarities to my lovely wife, Cherry. And have you seen my elder son, Ian Isaac? It's just barely looks like me, but he's more top, I should say. More fit than me. So, but Jesus is saying it doesn't stop there. Yes, our children, they may love us, but it doesn't really make us to be so secure that, hey, will this child of man will even trust me until he grows up? That's why we need to direct them. We need to provide thorough security for their lives. We should set boundaries. And not only that, even in our own families, we need to make it sure that we are discipling our own family. Just like Jesus is even saying that anyone can lash out in attack. Anyone can hate. Anyone can be bitter. But loving God does not make us sons of the Father. But loving our enemies will give a true, you know, effective message to the people there that we are truly the daughters and sons of Jesus, the Father. When we love our enemies, we're also showing forth the character of God to the world and proving that we are part of God's family. I would like to ask you, seriously, would you like to see your future sons and daughters, or if you do have children, that they will follow evil? Would you like them to follow evil? Would you like them to become a murderer? On the previous teaching, it was said, when you have so much hatred to another person as if you are already committing a murder. And just what Pastor Wee Young is even preached last week, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but you need to go an extra mile. So the God the Father wants you to remain in His house, in His care, because God loves you so much. As a son, as a daughter, so you could really experience His love, His provision. You could really experience that He is very much attentive to all your needs. And for that, for whatever season that you may be going through, God will be there to provide you the greater meaning of life. And that is protection and overflowing love unto Him. And then the third reason is your reward will be great. In Luke 6:35, the Bible says that, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Because God is so kind even to the ungodly. He brings forth sun and rain, both to the righteous and unrighteous. God sets the best example. What right do we have if we are less kind if we call God our Father? Surely we will receive a great reward in heaven, but perhaps the greatest reward that you will receive by loving your enemies is that you will be set free from bitterness and anger and hatred and from retaliation, and you will have a character of always wanting to have a peaceful relationship, a blessing towards that other people. And with that, when you are following the voice of God, surely you can be really called as the sons and daughters of God. The Bible said that blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. And when you obey God's word, you will delight yourself in his presence, because joy will overflow as you follow and obey him. So Jesus is telling us how to love our enemies. This is a real command. But I'm telling you, it will be very, very hard for you to follow your enemies. Say to the person beside you, you can't do it. You can't do it. Honestly, you can't do it. But there is a way. You have to be really connected to the vine, the source of true love. And that is Jesus. And when you are connected with Jesus, when you follow him as Lord and Savior, his promise is he will provide his spirit unto you. And therefore, you will bear fruit, the fruits of the spirit. And that is love, primarily. And that is peace. You know, even though they do hurt you, they do persecute you, they do offend you, your primary goal is to have peace with them. And you will have self-control. You will tame your tongue. You will not hurt them. And you will have patience. Even they keep on repeating the same offense that they're doing it to you, you are kind. And yet you are gentle. So it is this very same, you know, scenario that you can only demonstrate that you are a true living Christian. That the Holy Spirit is in you. You're not grieving it. Loving your enemies will be the ultimate test of your Christianity. And that will measure if you are really a disciple of Jesus. Even that love will hurt you. Just what I've said, just a warning you, love will really hurt you. So this is how we should love our enemies. Number one, you do good to them. Amen. I like that. You do good to them. In Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good, expecting nothing in return. Nothing. Do good to them, even though you are not getting. Romans 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. It is fascinating that both times in this passage, Jesus says, love your enemies. He follows this immediately by saying, do good to them, so that we won't miss the point. Do good to your enemies, whether they deserve it or not. Is that really right? They are not right people. They are so bad. Our initial reaction will be just like the other way. We run from them because they are so bad, or we avoid them. Or if we are really so, you know, I should say, okay, yeah. I'm just going to face them. This guy, I'm going to prove that he is wrong. So there will be clash. That's why war. War in our own family, in relationship, in school, in offices, even in the church happens. How much more, you know, if we don't really have the Spirit of God in us, we will all be hopeless. That's why I'm telling you a while ago, you can't do it apart from Jesus. You can't do it. So it means that seeing beyond your pain and their meaningness. And maybe, If we show them the love of God, if we do good to them, and they will experience something that they never experienced before, something that they may realize that you Christians, you believers, are so different. And maybe at that point, they will come to trust you, respect you, and then soon after, they may open up their Bibles and seek God and be converted to become a follower of Jesus, because they can really see that, hey, these Christians, they are peacemakers. They are so lovely. They are so good. And they are so trustworthy. And do not even allow anything the other person says affect you, because otherwise, you're just gonna give up. If that person keeps on affecting you, you're going to be saying, I gave up. It's going to be really hard because he keeps on hurting me. So keep on doing. Keep on believing. Keep on holding on the promise of God. At some point, sometimes, you know, we always have this feeling that there's no more hope. He is hopeless. That person is hopeless. He doesn't change. But remember, the goal is to overcome evil, do good to them, so that you may be God's people and you can prove that you are really a follower of Jesus. Secondly, you need to pray for them. Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Prayer protects us from bitterness. And when we look onto our enemy instead of the fault, God begins to change our own hearts. God begins to pour out His Spirit in you. As you admit that, Lord God, I cannot handle it. I surrender it to you. I just entrust you. Provide me your Spirit so I can react correctly to this person, so I can show forth your love to this person, even though you are in the point that you are hurting. That's why God is giving us a spirit of not timid, but active. The Spirit is alive. He's always available. You can always call upon Him. He's available at any point, at any time of your life. So hatred is turned to love, bitter to sweet, and we will begin to see our enemies through the eyes of God. And you will acknowledge the fact that if God can change me so far, that we will become hopeful that God can also to change that person. And that's the reason why I'm happily married. That's the reason why that I'm so blessed to have two young men in my life, Ian and Ivan. If I do not possess, if I do not cling on to God's presence in my life, hey boys, hey guys, this is gonna be tough. It's really gonna be tough. But is it worth it? I should say it's worth it. For all those nights, those mornings that I am on my bended knees, I cry unto God, God, I can't do this, but I really need your Spirit. I really need your guidance. I really need your power. That there will be sometimes that even though you are hurt, you still need to face them, bless them, do good to them. It's hard. But only by the power of the Spirit can really give you a breakthrough inside your heart. And therefore, you will witness also a breakthrough into your relationship. How exciting that one would be, isn't it? Secondly, may I add, prayer also allows us to be controlled by the Spirit. The enemies humble us. Just what I've said, they keep me on my knees. They reveal to me my weakness, and they expose the total heart of God. Just as David was being pursued by Saul, because Saul wanted to kill him, he persecutes him. He desperately always seeking God and his protection, not a blessing. Because most of us, you know, how many among of you is saying, "Hey bro, can you please pray for me?" You always pray for blessings. But how about, "Hey bro, can you please pray for me?" What for? Protection. What for? Protection for my enemy. Who are your enemies? This, that. Yeah. I think the most vital part really in our Christian life is not all about blessings. If we are always praying for blessings, material wealth, material gain, possession, career, I mean, you know, this will all be gone. Because at the very end point of your life, the moment you will gonna have your last breath, you will only be craving for those relationships. And just like what happened to Jesus, I'm about to close, when he was crucified on that cross, he even say to all those people around him, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And then just like Stephen, do you know Stephen from the book of Acts? He was persecuted. He was on trial in face of the Sanhedrin. And then when they are about to stone him, he could see that, "Look, I could see Jesus above the clouds." Stephen was full of the Spirit, the same character that Jesus had when he's about to be killed while they are stoning them. They're even saying, "Father, Jesus, do not withhold the sins upon them." If I remember again the words of Joseph, when his brother mistreated him, and after all those years, Joseph said that, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." So if you look back again to your home, to your families, to your friends, school, churchmates, "You may have done evil against me, but surely God will meant it for good. God will meant it for good." Our hope in experiencing hate, in experiencing persecution, is that pain lies in knowing that life is not the end. There is life after death, just like what happened to Stephen. That his promise to all who love and obey him, knowing that we will have eternal life and rewards with God, enables to live above the pain and suffering we endure in this life. So one key thing that I'm going to be telling you, never lack in zeal, in the power of the Spirit, and always trust and follow Jesus. God bless you all. Thank you, Pastor Rio.
What an awesome sermon. You know, I think it's very important for us each time we hear something to have a moment to respond on the outside to whatever is going on at the inside. You know, if let's just take a moment and let's all close our eyes for a moment of privacy. And this is not a ritual we do, but it's really just to help us to focus and give our neighbors some privacy. If any of us in this auditorium today, you've heard Ghani's word about loving our enemies and it resounds in your heart, there's something in your heart, in your spirit that's tugging at you and saying, you know, he's speaking to you. You know, sometimes it's funny, eh, when we hear something, feels like they're speaking directly to us. If that's you, there's something during the sermon that has really challenged you, and you're hearing in your head, I need to do something about that. I need to love my enemies. I need to get over that offense. If that is you, on the count of three, I'd like to pray for you. Would you shoot your hand up? One, two, three. Well, thank you. Hands all over the hall. Would you keep your hand up? Keep it straight up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for all these hands. Lord, we thank you for your word, that your word is powerful, your word is life. Lord, it's hard to live on this earth without your help. We go through life and we get hurt and we get bruised, we get offended, we get cut. But Lord, as you see our hands lifted up, that is showing you, that's indicating to you, our dear God, that we are willing and we're able and we're ready to let go. Right now, dear God, we invite the power of your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to give us the power to forgive, to give us the courage to forgive, to set our enemies free, and more importantly, to set us free. Holy Spirit, heal our hearts. Help us to do good to our enemies. Help us to pray for our enemies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Eyes still closed for a moment. Eyes still closed. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe you once walked with Jesus and you've walked away, whatever reason that might be, it doesn't matter, but you know that you're not right with God, I want to give you an opportunity this morning again to respond on the inside, on the outside, to something happening on the inside. If you've been reminded this morning, or you've found out for the very first time that this life itself is not all there is an eternity that we will live in. When we die, our spirits go on. There is a creator, God himself, that created you and I to have a relationship with him. But because of sin, we have all been separated from our Heavenly Father. It cuts him up inside. He is so upset that we are separated from him. So much so that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come and live the life that you and I should have lived, a perfect one. And then to die the death that you and I should have died, a brutal one, to pay for our sins. The Bible says that God made him who knew no sin, the perfect one, made him to become sin for us, to take on our sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. With that being said, if this morning you want to receive that gift of forgiveness and you want to become a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you, on the count of three, if you're coming to Jesus for the very first time, or you're coming back to him, on the count of three, I would invite you to put your hand up. One, two, three. I see your hand out the back row. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Lord, we thank you for just the beautiful opportunity to worship you this morning, to hear your word, to learn, to allow your word to transform our hearts. I pray that these words will not remain as words, that they will be transformed into action. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will move our hearts, that you move our hands, that you transform our minds, so that this week, even today, we'll put into action what we've learned, what we've heard from you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen.